All right, guys, today's topic is one that's not really up for debate, in my opinion, but hey, I'm not you, you're not me, and it's something that we all care about a lot in regards to Tennessee football next season. Will there be a quarterback competition between Joe Milton and Nico Iamaleava? Who do you want to see quarterback in the Tennessee Volunteers? That and a whole lot more here on a Thursday, Locked On Vols.
You are Locked On Vols, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is up, everybody? Welcome into it. This is Locked On Vols, and I'm your host, Eric Kane. Appreciate you guys hanging out with me here today, making Locked On Vols your first listen wherever you get your podcasts, and always liking, thumbs upping, and subscribing to the Locked On Vols YouTube channel. I can't thank you enough for continuing to help build this channel up and getting in front of more Tennessee fans. Got a fun show coming up today. I really do. Got a couple of interesting football topics. We're going to dive into Nico versus Joe in segment one. I kind of do a power ranking of Tennessee's top transfers in terms of importance for the Tennessee football team, something that I've been thinking about doing, and it's a really good discussion as well, and something we can maybe branch out on maybe for tomorrow's show, if you guys want to chime in at underscore Kaner and at Locked On Vols. And then I do want to touch base on Tennessee's loss to Texas A&M. I understand that was a couple days ago, but I didn't record prior to the game, and I want to give my two cents on Tennessee basketball and kind of where it is right now. So that's what you have to look forward to here on a Thursday show. So let's dive into it. Joe Milton, Nico Iamaleava. And of course, that spurs on the question of the day. Who do you want to see as Tennessee's starting quarterback next fall, Joe Milton or Nico Iamaleava? At underscore Kaner, at Locked On Vols, fill those comment sections here on the YouTube channel. To me, and this is just me, this really isn't up for debate. Now, of course, if Joe were to go out there and struggle in, you know, 3-4 games or whatever, and there needs to be a change made, then of course I understand that. But there's a big kind of component here that I think a lot of us aren't really kind of taken into account. I think a lot of times, and I mean, I cover recruiting, guys, so I'm right there with you. I understand it for those that do this. But we get caught up in five-star, in quarterback. On3 has Nico as the number one prospect for the class of 2023. Nico is, again, not going to rant on ESPN, but Nico is almost a consensus five-star quarterback and, you know, five-star plus quarterback for On3. But, you know, ESPN drags that way down a little bit. I've already gotten into that before, so we won't do it again. But, you know, we get caught up in that sweepstakes a lot about, you know, the new guy. You know, maybe he can be the new C.J. Stroud or, you know, in Tennessee's case, the Peyton Manning or the Trevor Lawrence who came in and sat out the first couple games and then stepped in for Clemson and then, you know, the rest is history. That's not always how it works out. And again, Peyton Manning, you guys may very well remember, he was not a starter day one here at Tennessee. You know, a lot of times it takes time. And we talked about this a little bit in the mailbag show earlier this week, why some fans are so persistent on wanting to see five-star freshmen on the basketball court get in there and get playing time immediately, but are so adamant about not wanting that for Nico, the five-star quarterback. And I spoke on that show, and I'll reiterate it again here. I think the big difference is you come in as an 18-year-old freshman, and a lot of times you're going up against 20, 21, 22, and now with these super seniors, sometimes 23, 24-year-olds. I mean, hell, Hendon Hooker was almost 25 years old. You had Stetson Bennett, who was 25 years old. I mean, it's football. Your body has got to develop. You have got to become mature, obviously, between the years, especially the quarterback position, but your physical makeup has got to do some maturing. You are playing against men, whereas in high school, you were playing against boys for the most part. In high school, if you were a Power 5 Division 1 athlete, football, basketball, you know, name the sport, baseball, you were arguably, if not playing against another D1 prospect at the Power 5 level, the best player on the field or the court every single time you step foot on the field or the court throughout your high school career. And then when you get to college, you're not that anymore. And so it takes a little bit of time of developing mentally, learning how to practice, learning how to be a college athlete, a student athlete, balancing school and academics along with football and film study and weight room and nutrition and all that. Nutrition's a huge thing with that as well at the next level compared to that of high school. And so a lot of times it takes anybody, a freshman, a couple semesters to adapt. Now, there are some different cases, and you know, Nico, we'll see what happens with him. But Nico's coming in, and he's skinny. He's got to put on some weight. There's no doubt about it. He is a skinny guy. But his makeup, his build, his frame is where he can put on some good weight. But if you watch him throw the football and everything, he's got quick twitch, a quick release. He uses his lower body to throw the football, which you love. I think he's super talented, and I do think that he is the best quarterback prospect in this class. But does that mean he needs to be Tennessee's starting quarterback day one? Well, a lot of that will have to do with spring practice. How does he do in spring practice when it starts here in the next month? How does he do in fall camp? How does he perform in fall camp in August, getting preparation for the season coming up? You know, Josh Heupel, or Joey Halsey, rather, during the Orange Bowl week of preparation down in Miami, when we were meeting with him, he said, hey, there will be a full-fledged quarterback competition. Joe knows it. Nico knows it. At the time, Taven Jackson knew it. Navy Shuler knows it. Gasson Moore knows that there's going to be a full-fledged quarterback competition. And that's all fine and dandy. That's the politically correct thing to say. But you have a Joe Milton, who's now going to be a six-year college quarterback, who is physically built at 6'5", 6'6", 250 pounds or so. We know about his arm strength. We know about what he can do with a football in his hands. We've seen it a little bit here at Tennessee. Saw flashes of it in his first couple starts in 2021. Saw flashes of it in mop-up duty here over the past 2 years, especially this past year. And then, of course, we saw what he did in the Orange Bowl. He was good. So we know a little bit. Now, we haven't seen him play consistently, even while he's been here at Tennessee. Remember, you know, he started the first game in 2021. He started the Pittsburgh game, but he did not make it through that first half. And then it was the Hendon Hooker show the rest of the way. So we still haven't even really seen Joe Milton in terms of a consistent game by game by game by game by game makeup. No one has since his time back in Michigan. And I think what kind of derailed his time at Michigan and why it didn't work out there and the transfer and all that is, I mean, he had a thumb injury. I mean, he broke his thumb, I believe, on his throwing hand. And that's something that he still dealt with, you know, when coming to Tennessee and conversations I've had with him. You know, that pump fake you saw in the Orange Bowl, he couldn't do that against Pittsburgh or against Bowling Green in 2021. That pump fake and then he hit Squirrel Watt in the back of the end zone, he couldn't do that because his thumb wasn't fully healed yet. But we know the physical tools. We've seen it on display for a couple years of Joe Milton. Okay, we haven't seen anything of Nico Iamaleava yet. So that's the big variable here. That's the big that's the X factor. We know what Joe Milton is capable of because we've seen it or we've seen flashes of it, and we've seen his physical makeup. We haven't seen Nico do anything at this level because he's just now getting here. I think that's the big thing to remember here. Again, if Joe Milton starts the season and he's struggling through the first couple weeks, and then when you get into the heart of SEC play, you want to make a switch, make a switch. I would support that. But in my opinion, Joe Milton, who has been the understudy of Hendon Hooker, who's been his biggest supporter, been a coach on the sideline, of course, all the other reasons I've already mentioned, the physical tools, all that type of stuff, the arm, I think it's a no-brainer that he's going to be your starting quarterback. I think that's what Tennessee wants, and quite frankly, I think that's what Nico Iamaleava's camp wants. It is not a bad thing to sit over there and to carry a clipboard and have a headset on and do that your first year. That's what the NFL used to be, but now so much money is involved in first-round draft picks that coaches and general managers feel like, hey, we got to play him. We've got to play him. And then a lot of times, sadly, you kind of ruin that guy's career because he played too soon. So it's not a bad thing to come in here and sit down and watch and kind of take all that off. So that's kind of where I'm at. But what say you? Who do you want to see be Tennessee's starting quarterback in 2023? Joe Milton or Nico Iamaleava? Taven Jackson's no longer here. Gasson Moore is likely to be the third string quarterback and to be elevated to a scholarship player. Navy Shuler's still there as well. But it's Joe or it's Nico. You know, that's the two options you have here. So what say you? I'm intrigued to see spring practice. I'm excited to see spring practice, how those two guys compete, how Nico looks in pads, how he looks in terms of his how his body looks in terms of has it matured the first couple of months that he's been here on campus and in a collegiate strength and conditioning program and a collegiate nutrition program. I'm excited to see how that plays out. So, you know, we'll see. There's Arch versus what's his name over at Texas, who was the former number one overall prospect as well at Ohio State and then, you know, transferred to Texas. I don't believe Arch Manning is going to be the starting quarterback. And people I've spoken to down there around the program, I don't think Arch Manning is going to be the starting quarterback either. I think it's kind of the same situation. You know, it's Nico here at Tennessee, Arch there at Texas. I don't think either one of those are rushing those guys into playing time right now. So it'll be interesting to see. What say you? Who do you want to see be Tennessee's starting quarterback in 2023? Joe Milton or Nico Iamaleava? That is the question of the day. You can hit me up at _Caner and at Locked On Vols and those comment sections on the Locked On Vols YouTube channel. All right, when we come back, I'm going to power rank the order of transfers for Tennessee in terms of importance for the 2023 season. That is coming up next right here on Locked On Vols. But first, I want to tell you about a proud sponsor of our show and of the Locked On Network, that is FanDuel Sportsbook. The midway point of the NBA season is here, and now is the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Because new customers, they get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's bonus bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, it is secure, and it is super easy to use. Then, you can bet on everything from the money line to the point scores to three-pointers drained. Plus, FanDuel even lets you combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with a same-game parlay. You can do it all at FanDuel Sportsbook. So don't miss the chance to get your no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets. All you need to do is go to FanDuel Sportsbook. Just kidding. It's FanDuel.com/LockedOn. One more time. That is FanDuel.com/LockedOn. To learn more, visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn. Make every moment more with FanDuel, the official sports betting partner of the NBA. All right, guys, welcome back into it, your Thursday edition of Locked On Vols. And I'm your host, Eric Kane. The cue of the day, the question of the day is, who do you want to see be Tennessee's starting quarterback in 2023, Joe Milton or Nico Iamaleava? We discussed that a little bit here in segment one. Want to hear your thoughts. Let's transition now into a conversation about transfers. Now, transfer portal opened up. It was for 45 days. Tennessee took 8 transfers. It will open back up again after spring practice, and we'll see if Tennessee is done adding to its roster. We'll see if Tennessee has any more departures after they go through spring practice and these players kind of see and view kind of where they are in the pecking order. If I'm a betting man, just the nature of where college football is right now, I'm sure Tennessee will lose at least one guy after spring practice, and I'm sure Tennessee will bring in at least one guy. I think there's room there on the roster for sure. And remember, if you lose a guy, then that opens up a spot to bring in another guy as well. But, you know, Tennessee's being very selective in that process. It's got to make sense. They want multi-year guys, or in McAllen Castle's case, just a guy at the position that they have to have play immediately. So we'll talk about Castles, and we'll talk about these other 7 8 total, but the other 7 transfers that have come into Tennessee. So I'm going to rank the transfers in terms of importance for Tennessee in 2023. And I would love if you would give me your impact and your feedback on kind of what you view on it. A lot of you guys DM me, a lot of you guys tell me, you know, what you think about, you know, my show or a topic or something. I love that. I love that. If I don't message you guys back, I try to, but I love that. So keep it coming. All right, I'm going to start the rankings. We're going to go down 8 all the way down to number 1. And it was really difficult when I did this earlier today when I was prepping for the show, because you can make the case to rearrange and put this guy here, but I just tried to do it for my reasons, and I'll tell you what those are. Number 8, the least most important transfer Tennessee got, and that does not mean that he will not be important to what Tennessee does, because I think he will be, and especially this year and moving on. In the years to come, Omar Norman Lott, defensive lineman from Arizona State. We know Rodney Gardner loves the rotational pieces on his defensive line. We know Rodney Gardner loves veterans who are smart football players who can eat a lot of snaps. I think Omar Norman Lott can be that guy. He's versatile. I think he can play the interior, the 3, the shade. I think he can slide out to a 5 if need be. But I think he'll be more of a 3 and a 1 a type guy, but techniques-wise. And again, whenever Tennessee got him, you know, I talked about how he entered the transfer portal last offseason briefly, and Tennessee and Rodney Gardner jumped in on him, and they spoke to him, and they liked him a lot. He ended up staying in Arizona State, but when he jumped in the portal again this offseason, that's when Tennessee kind of felt like they had a leg up already had that relationship, and they got him to commit and ultimately sign here at Tennessee. I do think that he's going to be an important piece. He's got multi-years left, so that's good. But because it is a rotational piece for this power rankings scenario we're doing right now, he would come in eighth. Number seven. This might surprise you guys because I've actually mentioned his name and messed up his name a couple of times. But it's very critical to the game of football, even though GOAT or the hero. That is the kicker, Charles Campbell of Indiana. Chase McGrath was solid at Tennessee for 2 years. Really solid. Did not think he had the biggest leg. Thought he was restricted a little bit. But overall, he made some kicks for Tennessee that were big. Obviously, the game winner against Alabama this year. But he was so consistent 40 yards and in, 45 yards and in. And that's going to be a lot to replace. You got to have a kicker. It flips the field. It's a weapon in the red zone. It's a weapon on the plus side of the 50. It's on the kickoff team, what Tennessee wants to do and pinning that down there in between the five and the goal line there. You got to have a good kicker. And so I think because of that, it's very important, you know, for Charles Campbell to adapt and kick well for Tennessee. But he does come in there at number seven for me. So Omar Norman-Lott at number eight, Charles Campbell at number seven. At number six, I will go McCallum Castles. And this might shock you because I consistently preach on here. I preach on BallQuest.com how important the tight end position is in this offense, and it is so important. Tennessee used two tight ends in Jacob Warren, who they had the luxury of coming back as a super senior next year, and, of course, Princeton Fant each of the past 2 years, but you're losing Fant. You lost Miles Campbell to the transfer portal. You're bringing in a four-star tight end in Ethan Davis, but he's coming off an injury, and plus he's a freshman, so we'll have to see exactly, you know, when he'll be ready to contribute, if at all, in 2023. McCallum Castles is going to have to play a lot of snaps for Tennessee. And I want him to be higher on this ranking here, but I can't make the argument over the other ones I'm going to mention here. So he is so important. That position is so important to what Tennessee does. And the biggest thing he has going for him is he has Jacob Warren to watch, to learn, to talk to bounce ideas off of. That's going to be big for him. So McCallum Castles will have to utilize that and Jacob Warren in preseason and, of course, in spring. All right, let's go next. Number five, the fifth most important player in my power rankings transfer-wise for Tennessee, Andre Kirik, Texas. He might be the one you forget about, and that's fair. It's an offensive lineman, not a flashy player. It's not the tackle we'll speak on here in a moment. But Tennessee does lose two starting offensive linemen off a program-best and nation-best total offense and scoring offense this past year. All right, Hendon Hooker doesn't just get to sit back there and drop dimes and all that. Jalin Hyde doesn't get to go out there and catch five touchdowns. And Jabari Small doesn't get to, you know, have 13 rushing touchdowns. Tennessee doesn't get to lead the nation in rushing touchdowns without the big hog mollies up front to block for him. Though I think guard is not as important as offensive tackle, obviously it's very important. And I think Andre Kirik is going to slide down inside and really compete to be one of those guards opposite of Javonte Spraggins. Just because of what Tennessee is, Tennessee's identity, it's its offense, it's its pace. It's high scoring. That's why I think Andre Kirik will be there at number five. Number eight, Omar Norman-Lott. Number seven, Charles Campbell. Number five, number six, McCallum Castles. Number five, Andre Kirik. Number four is Keenan Peely, linebacker of BYU. Keenan Peely's coming in. He had a really great start to the 2021 season. Then the third or fourth game got hurt, tore his ACL, and he was really never the same. In speaking with people at BYU this past year, he started. He played a ton in 2022. He was a contributor. It's not like he was bad, but he wasn't just quite the same. Tennessee will have veterans in, obviously, Aaron Beasley, Keenan Peely now, and then five really nice young pieces that is the future of that position for Tennessee. Elijah Herring, Caleb Perry, who are now sophomores, and then, of course, the three that are coming in right now, Jeremiah Tegelander, Jalen Smith, and Aaron Carter. It's going to be very important. One, for Keenan Peely to play a ton of snaps for Tennessee. Two, to stay healthy. And three, to mentor and to help develop those younger guys because they are the future and they're the top, you know, backups for Aaron Beasley and Keenan Peely this year. But you're missing Solon Page, who left, that gave you 15 to 20 snaps a game. And you're missing Jeremy Banks, who, you know, was a really big contributor for you at linebacker each of the past two seasons. So Keenan Peely is my fourth most important transfer. Number three, Gabe Judy Lally, his former teammate at BYU, coming over to Tennessee, and, you know, quite frankly, we know about the cornerback struggles. We know about the struggles in the defensive backfield. Gabe Judy Lally is a guy that started his career, played a couple of seasons at Vanderbilt, so he knows what Southeastern Conference football is. He knows what big boy football is. Transfers and goes to BYU last year and plays so well. had the highest Pro Football Focus grade. I wrote about it. I should have pulled it up before this. I apologize. But I believe it was like 79.2 was his Pro Football Focus grade, which is like 0.8 away from being an above average starter. He played over 600 snaps for BYU last year. Tennessee needs playmakers. That's why I think DeNico Slaughter should stay at corner, because he's the only playmaker that I've seen at the cornerback position for Tennessee, to be completely frank with you. And Gabe Judy-Lally appears to be a sound corner and a playmaker. So hopefully he is for Tennessee, because Tennessee needs cornerback help in the worst way. In the worst way. Maybe that frees up Christian Charles to go back and be safety depth. We'll see what that safety position looks like, and we'll talk all about that, leading into spring practice. But Gabe Judy-Lally, because it is a position that has got to get better for Tennessee, he is my third most important transfer. Number two, and if you know all of Tennessee's transfers, you'll know exactly who I'm talking about at number one in a moment. But number two, Dante Thornton, wide receiver from Oregon. Speed kills, length, reach, ability to play on the outside, ability to play on the inside. That is Dante Thornton. He's played at the Power 5 level. He's played for Oregon. He's made some plays. I think he's going to be a really nice piece in this offense. But obviously, you've got to have a receiver that can get up and go. You'll have Brew McCoy. You still have Ramel Keaton. You have Squirrel White in the slot. And adding Dante Thornton to that mix, who I believe will be a starter opposite of Brew McCoy in the fall, is going to be huge. He's fast. He's long. He's explosive. He reminds me of Javonte Payton, but maybe he'll be more productive than Javonte Payton, maybe not in the end zone. Remember, my favorite stat, maybe of all time, is 18 receptions, 6 touchdowns for Javonte Payton in 2021. They went to him on the first drive, and they didn't look at him the rest of the way. But Dante Thornton's going to be big for Tennessee. So, at number 8, Omar Norman-Lott. Number 7, Christian Charles Campbell. Number 6, McAllen Castles. Number 5, Andre Keurig. Number 4, Keenan Peely. Number 3, Gabe Judy-Lally. Number 2, Dante Thornton. And that leaves the offensive tackle from Miami, John Campbell, as the number 1 most important transfer, according to me. Darnell Wright is going to be hard to replace. You're not simply just going to replace a Darnell Wright and a Jerome Carvin on the inside. But having a guy that has experience all over the offensive line, right tackle, started at left tackle all of 2022 for Miami, that's going to be key. A veteran, a guy that knows the game of football, that has been there. His body's already been in a strength and conditioning program and a nutritional program for 4 years. John Campbell's experience. Now, just like Gerald Mincy, you're going to have to come in and learn this offense, and that's not going to be easy here in spring. But you got to come in and learn it. But I think trying to replace, at least doing your best to be sturdy and to be a semblance of what Darnell Wright was at right tackle, if that's where he plays. He might play left tackle. We'll talk about that as the offseason goes on. John Campbell is going to be critical for Tennessee's offense at the offensive tackle position in 2023. What say you? Power ranking the transfers for Tennessee this transfer portal season window. It closed a couple weeks ago, but I wanted to kind of refresh that. Who is most important? If you want to send me your list, please do. @_Kaner and @LockedOnVols. Had a fun time talking football so far today's show, but let's flip the script. Let's look back at Tennessee's loss at College Station. I know it sucks. I know it hurts. But I got a few things I want to talk about, and that's coming up next right here on Locked On Vols. All right, guys, we got one more segment left here of this Thursday edition of Locked On Vols, and I am your host, Eric Kane. Appreciate you guys for listening and for watching here today, making Locked On Vols your first listen. Tennessee, a couple nights ago, again, I didn't record after the game because, I didn't want to stay up all night. Tennessee 63 coming up short at Texas A&M 68. Tennessee battled, led a little bit in the first half, was able to battle back and have a tie ball game at the half. I thought that was really, really key, but sent Texas A&M to the line so many times. Tennessee was 10 of 14 from free throw shooting. Texas A&M was 28 of 34. I mean, goodness gracious. And you lose a 5-point game, well, you made 28 free throws. Of course that has something to do with that. Just couldn't keep A&M off the line. Just couldn't keep Kentucky off the line on Saturday when they were trying to battle back and erase a 20-point deficit at Rupp. Man, it hurts. It does. Tennessee's sliding right now. It's not good to watch. It's not fun to watch. Rick Barnes is continuing to say, hey, we are going to figure it out. As hard as these guys work, as hard as these guys want it, we're going to figure it out. That's essentially what Rick Barnes continues to say in postgame. But, I mean, hey, time's ticking here. You've got 3 regular season games left. You got the SEC tournament, and then it is showtime. Is it going to be another first weekend exit? Are you going to make it to the second weekend and go to a Sweet 16 for only the second time in your tenure? I'm talking about Rick Barnes. You know, we'll see, but time is ticking out here. Look back at that A&M loss. What more can you say about Santiago Vescovi? I think it's pretty much public knowledge now. I mean, he was battling illness. He was sicker than a dog the day before, right? Goes out there, scores 14 points, collects 10 rebounds, has 7 assists, has 3 steals. I used to call Josiah Jordan James, who you know can't make it back on the court right now, I used to call Josiah Jordan James a stat sheet stuffer. That is the definition of what Santiago Vescovi was for Tennessee at Texas A&M. 14 points, 10 rebounds, 7 assists, and 3 steals. He even threw in there 5 fouls. How about that, right? Five turnovers, which is not good, I know. But, I mean, what a gritty, gritty performance by Santiago Vescovi the other night on a night where you knew, you just knew he was not 100%. And that's why you want to root for this team. Because you get performances like that. You love the growth and development of Jonas Adu, who finished with 6 points and 5 rebounds the other night, who I just think is continuing to get better and better, you know? It's one of those things. Olivier Cumwell finished with 13 points. I mean, he was okay, but, you know, he's as inconsistent as anybody on the court. Zakai Ziegler got back to playing Zakai Ziegler ball. Of course, he was 6 of 17 from the field, which was not great, 2 of 11 from 3. But he did score 14 points. He had 4 assists. He did not foul in all, or he finished with only 2 fouls, which is big, or 3 fouls, which is big, because again, he picked up his 4th foul at the 14-minute mark or 15-minute mark of the second half against Kentucky. Tyreek Key just continues to, after 2 really good games last week, you know, for him, he just slid back into not shooting it a lot, 1 of 7. 3 points total. Thought Toby Awaka gave you a nice boost off the bench. 7 rebounds, 10 points. I believe that's a career high for him. And then Jemiah Mashak, who has been the unsung hero during this slump, if you want to even own that title. Best defender on the team. You know what he did against Brandon Miller, which, whole nother situation right now with Brandon Miller in Alabama. But what he did against Brandon Miller was really impressive a couple weeks ago in Tennessee's win over number 1 Alabama. Jemiah Mashak, I think, continues to get better offensively. Especially was against Kentucky, right? But he only shot it 4 times. Tennessee lost a game where it shot 44% in the first half. You know, 40% overall in the game, which is not great, right? It's not fantastic, but a lot of times we've seen Tennessee win by shooting 40% from the field, right? It's just you're in this slump right now, man. And it all started when you were ranked number 2 in AP a couple weeks ago. After that, you went on the road and embarrassed yourself against Florida. You go and you come back and you barely beat Auburn, which was a quad one win, which is a gritty win, and that's good, but you barely won against Auburn at home. You lose in back-to-back buzzer-beater fashions at Vanderbilt, which is inexcusable, and then against Missouri, which, you know, Missouri's got a potent offense. It scores an awful lot, but you lost the way you lost, back-to-back crushing defeats. And since then, at least since the second half of Missouri, you've been without 2 starters the rest of the way, right? Josiah Jordan James hasn't played since the beginning of that Missouri game, or the game before that, I guess, was the Vanderbilt game. Josiah Jordan James hadn't played since then. And then you had Julian Phillips, who has not come back since the first half of that Missouri game. So you've been without 2 starters. And that's not nothing. That is not nothing. I mean, that's you know, versatility in your lineup, flexibility in terms of the rotations you want to play defensively. You know, Julian Phillips, has he been amazing living up to that 5-star caliber as a true freshman? Not every game, but he's been one of your most consistent players in being out there and knowing exactly what he's doing, right? So that's not nothing. So you lose in back-to-back fashion that way. Then you come back down 2 starters. You beat Alabama, the number 1 team ranked in the country, and then you go on the road and get down by 20 in the first half against Kentucky. Battle back. It's a little too far, too late. Same way with Texas A&M. So it's rough right now. It is. And you are battling to get that first-round bye in the SEC tournament, because that is certainly, certainly not a given right now. Oh, well, I mean, what's Tennessee to do, right? Still's got the number 1 defense in the country. Still ranked high in the net. Still ranked high in terms of KenPom. Not as high as it was, but it's still up there. But Tennessee continues to lose. And I question, and I don't want to, but I question the leadership of this basketball team, because I don't think there's any. Is Josiah Jordan James being a leader, even though he's not playing. What was his leadership style when he was on the court, right? I mean, I don't think he's the most vocal guy to begin with. Santiago Vescovi, I don't believe, is a vocal leader. Uros is not the guy to be a leader, in my opinion. I question the leadership of this team right now during this snide. It's unfortunate. We talked about earlier in the week, are you done with Tennessee basketball? I mean, I'm not saying to, but I know right now it is not fun to watch. They've got the potential to be anybody in the country. They have the potential to lose to anybody in the country. Someone DM'd me that earlier this week, and I couldn't agree more. It's frustrating right now, but Tennessee's got three games to try to figure it out. Try to figure it out, because if you can just turn that corner, right? If you can just turn that corner going into March, going into the SEC tournament play, you might not win the tournament, that's fine, but playing better basketball, reel off some consecutive wins in a row on back-to-back days, because that is tournament basketball. That is March basketball. Sure, you won't play on back-to-back days, but you'll play day of a rest and play again. Thursday, Saturday, Friday, Sunday, whatever the case may be. All right? So you've got to turn that corner. Can Tennessee turn that corner against South Carolina? You would hope so, right? But it's not a gimme anymore. Can Tennessee turn that corner? Auburn to end the season, or Arkansas in between? You know, we'll see. Tennessee needs to get healthy. They need Julian Phillips back out there. They need Josiah Jordan James back out there. But right now, it's not fun watching Tennessee basketball. Tennessee now is 20-8, 9-6 in the SEC. Man, how things have changed in such a short amount of time. They play hard. I think they want it. I like a lot about this team. But also, I think they're lacking some things. I think one of those is leadership right now. Leadership really shows when things are bad, and I'm not sure leadership is even present right now. So let's see if this team can turn it around, have another opportunity to try to look better, jump into the win column. That'll be at South Carolina, or against South Carolina, at 6 o'clock on Saturday. We'll see what happens. We'll talk more about that coming up on tomorrow's show. But hey, that is going to do it for this edition, this Thursday edition of Locked on Vols. Please like, thumbs up, and subscribe to this channel. Share it. Let's get this video out there in front of more Vol fans. And if you're listening to it, thanks so much for making Locked on Vols your first listen wherever you listen to your podcast. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, hit me a 5-star review, please, and write me a review, a positive review. If you got some negative, say, let's not clutter that up there. It's only good vibes there. All right, only good vibes. Appreciate you guys as always. Thanks so much. We'll be back at it again tomorrow for a Friday edition of the show. This is Locked on Vols.